Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I am so glad that you are here with us as we continue our green and growing season after Pentecost, as we continue to lift our voices in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. I'm glad that you're here today because someone might need to have you here today. And I'm also very grateful for all of you who are joining us online as well. You are part of our group. I hope you know that you're welcome to stop by, but also I'm just grateful that you're here with us. I have a message for anyone who's in, who will be starting grades 9 through 12. Next Sunday, August 20th, we have a pool party in the afternoon. We're going to kick off the new school year, the new program year, the new whatever, but with some fun. The pool, hamburgers, hot dogs, conversation, all kinds of it. Next Sunday from 4 to 6, keep your ears open for more details. Also today at our 8:30 service, this service, Aiden Jonathan Kennedy will receive his first communion. Aiden was unable to be with us when we did our group lessons during Lent, and so he spent time with me this past week for instruction, the poor kid. Oh, but we welcome Aiden today to the Lord's table, and we ask that you would please keep him in your prayers. See, I didn't even make you stand up or anything. We have gathered this morning so that we might be in worship. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song, How Can I Keep From Singing? Let us rise and sing together.
How can I ever say no? How amazing!
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our defender, storms rage around us and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear. And preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
First lesson is from 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went outside and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you are alive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram, and you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, as Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The word of the Lord. Second lesson is from Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from the faith says, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart," that is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The Scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one in whom they have not never heard? How are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.'" The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 14th chapter. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowds, Jesus went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, and by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus finally got his quiet time. That's how the reading from last week began, actually. Jesus had heard about the death of John the Baptist. He was also tired from all of the teaching and the healing that he was doing. Jesus needed some time to pray, some time to meditate and to contemplate what comes next. And as he left in a boat to go find that quiet place and that quiet time, crowds made their way ahead of him and they greeted him when they got off the boat. Crowds met Jesus with their needs, with their requests. They stood before Jesus and he had compassion on them. Last week we had the whole story of the feeding of the 5,000 men, including and then plus women and children. We watched as the disciples discovered that with Jesus, even the little we have, even the little we're willing to claim, is enough. And as this morning's gospel starts, Jesus then sends the disciples in a boat on ahead to the other side of the sea, and Jesus dismisses the crowd. And after the crowds were dispersed, Jesus finally got his quiet time. He went up the mountain by himself to pray. Now we could pause just there at that sentence, and we could learn much. Because in each of the Gospels, Jesus shows us the importance of finding time to spend in prayer. We see throughout his ministry how important prayer is for Jesus. He spends precious moments in prayer, whether he is with and in front of a huge crowd or he is off alone by himself. Jesus is showing to all of us that prayer is a gift, that prayer is an actual opportunity to communicate with God. God listens when we pray. God responds when we pray. God loves it when we pray. So if all we get from today's gospel is that Jesus continues to encourage us and encourage prayer in our lives, even after it's been, interrupted by 24 hours, if that's what we hear today, it's a good day. But so much else happens in the gospel story that I choose not to stay there on the mountain with Jesus, at least not in this sermon. Because with Jesus, we come down that mountain and we begin to go off to meet the disciples. And that's when all sorts of unnatural things start to happen. But let's start with the natural things. Jesus sent the disciples off in the boat to go to the other side, and he was going to meet them. Now, some of these men had been professional fishermen, and so boats were something that they were used to. So that was a natural. As they were making their way to the other side, a wind arose against them, and the waves were battering the boat. Headway was difficult to maintain, but all of that, too, is perfectly natural if you've ever been on a boat on a lake. So by early morning, the disciples were tired and worn out from rowing, from striving to make it back to shore, and that's when all the unnatural stuff starts happening. Because Jesus comes toward the boat walking on the water. Now, Jesus wasn't on shore, and he wasn't in the shallows splashing. Jesus was walking on the water. That's unnatural. Who can do that? Jesus can. Flaunting gravity, fluid dynamics, and even just common sense, Jesus comes to the disciples walking on the water. That can be disturbing to see, because that's how the disciples found it. And as tired and as frazzled as they were, they also became terrified, thinking that it was a ghost or something else that was coming out to get them. Walking on the water is unnatural. But as I look at this truth about Jesus in light of all of the parables that we've been listening to, this just might be another lived parable. Jesus walking on the water may be a way for us to look and see all of the other sort of unnatural things that Jesus does. He talks to sinners and to those who have been outcast from the world. Jesus pays attention to women. Jesus touches the sick and even lepers. Jesus teaches that love of neighbor is more important than any of the other 613 rules, and that love of neighbor and loving God are the utmost things in our lives. Jesus will go to Jerusalem, not as a conquering hero, but as a true Messiah, living love and care for all people, even those who don't like him. Jesus is not violent, not even when driving animals from the temple. Jesus is willing to lay down his life, even for the sake of sinners like us. Jesus dies and rises for us. Much of what Jesus does, much of who Jesus is, seems unnatural to the people and to the world around him. Even the disciples don't understand him at times. And here he comes walking to them on the water. Jesus comes. He hears the disciples' fear. And then he says to them, take heart. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. It is I. Jesus knows that things are a bit unnatural. And he tries to calm his friends. He tries to stave off their fear. He tries to let them know that it is him and that there is nothing for them to be afraid of. Jesus comes to all of us and to each of us in our fear, in our confusion, in all of those moments when we are most overwhelmed. And Jesus says to us as well, take heart, don't be afraid. It is I, and I am with you. That is a promise from this unnatural Jesus, a promise from our Lord and Savior. He is with us, and we need not fear. But that is shown most vividly in my favorite part of this whole Matthew version of this story. Because as Jesus is speaking to the disciples, Peter screws his courage to that sticking place and he says, if it's really you, Lord, command me to come out to you on the water. And without missing a beat, Jesus says, come. This is exactly what Jesus is hoping for, not only in that moment, but for his entire ministry, for our entire ministry. And so Peter steps out of the boat. Imagine that. You put your feet down, knowing that you should sink, and yet you stand. And he walks, too, for a few steps. Think about that. Peter walks towards Jesus on the water. And when Peter begins to sink, he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus is there to help, to return him to the boat, to calm the winds and the sea. Jesus hopes that we will all follow him into the unnatural world of God's love and care for all. Jesus looks at each of us and he says, come, inviting us to care for all of those around us. Now, sometimes that can be as difficult as stepping off a boat onto the waves. Sometimes it can be that difficult, and Jesus calls us. Jesus never expects us to begin waltzing on the waves. A couple of steps are all that is necessary, and it's always amazing. And Jesus is beside us so that we can expect the possibilities of miracles, and stepping off is enough. Listening to a victim of abuse and offering comfort. Helping someone in a parking lot. Developing a way to provide weekend meals for children who have none. Any or all of those kinds of things are available to us, and so much more for us to step out, to step off, to walk into the world and do the things that Jesus calls us to do. For as we look at the world around us, Jesus looks at us and says, come. The world looks at all of that kind of stuff as being unnatural. The world tells us that we should look out for ourselves and don't bother with any of the rest of that stuff unless we can benefit from that attempt. But Jesus shows us that compassion for the needy, the time spent with the lame and the sick, the poor and the hungry, trying to do something is always the right thing to do, no matter how unnatural someone finds it. We are encouraged today to find time to pray, to find strength in God's presence with us, and then to get out of the boat and to walk into that world as we are able. We also see that when we sink, Jesus is there with a hand to support, with forgiveness and salvation to encourage us to try and try and try again. With Christ by our side, we always have hope, and that is great good news today and every day. Amen. Please rise. As we remember our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, for those in need, and all of creation. God of grace and faith, your faithfulness is never ending and your righteousness becomes ours through Christ Jesus. Send the church to proclaim the gospel both near and far, in church buildings and on street corners, in person and through digital means. Lord, in your mercy, God of sky and sea, the plants, animals, mountains, and plains proclaim your glory. Prosper the work of ecologists as they teach us new ways to care for the environment. Bring relief to areas recovering from natural disasters. We pray especially for Maui and the midst of their wildfire. Lord, in your mercy. God of peace and justice, you call us to live as your beloved community throughout the world. Instill in local, regional, national, and global political and civic leaders a desire to work for the well-being of all people. Lord, in your mercy. God of care and compassion, you bring assurance when we are afraid. Bring calm to any who are anxious or fearful. Bless the work of therapists, nurses, and other healthcare providers. Comfort all who grieve. We pray especially for the family of Norma Durnell, and soothe any who are sick. We pray for these who are known to us and who need your wholeness and health, Dick, Judith, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy. God of wonder, you accompany us in both joys and sorrows. We pray for children and teachers preparing for a new school year. Make your presence known in our work and play, in lively conversation and in quiet rest. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for the gift of your table and for Aiden, who will share those gifts for the first time. Fill him with your gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and help us all to give thanks for our lives and then give them away. Lord, in your mercy. God of new life, you send people to renew both church and society. We give you thanks for their lives of faithful service as examples of following your call. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious with you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you have a blessed week as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Feel your heart and see the world through your eyes. I want to be your hands and feet. I want to live a life that leads. Ready yourselves, let it shine the light of Jesus in the darkest night. Whoa, ready yourselves, may the powers of darkness tremble as our praises rise. Until the whole world hears, Lord, we are calling out, lifting up your name for all to hear the sound. Like voices in the wilderness, we're crying out as the day draws near. Lord, let your sleeping giant rise, catch the demons by surprise. Holy nation sanctified, let this be our battle cry. Ready yourselves, let it shine the light of Jesus in the darkest night. Oh, ready yourselves, may the powers of darkness tremble as our praises rise. Until the whole world hears, Lord, we are calling out, lifting up your name for all to hear the sound. Like voices in the wilderness, we're crying out as the day draws near. Sing until the whole world hears. Whoa. And I pray that they will see more of you and less of me. Lord, I want my life to be the song you sing. Until the whole world hears, Lord, we are calling out, lifting up your name for all to hear the sound. Like voices in the wilderness, we're crying out as the day draws near.